for joining us on live stream. You can stand up right in your living room and start praising God and setting the atmosphere for Him to move. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning. Welcome. You made it. You made it. We're glad you're here. So glad you're here this morning. My name is Pastor Tim. Me and my beautiful wife, Pastor Noelle. We're the young adults pastors here and directors of Renna Bible College. And we just want to welcome you guys. Usually, we're going to have our young adults meeting tonight, but we actually canceled that due to the oncoming blizzard. We just wanted to stay safe and all that good stuff. I don't know if it's technically a blizzard. I don't know. It's supposed to be a lot of snow. It's supposed to start tonight at 5. So anyways, but what we are doing, we're getting all the young adults and all the church, we're getting everybody together next, a week from Monday. Touch your neighbor, say a week from Monday. Okay, they didn't hear you, and half you guys didn't do it. Touch your neighbor, say, hey, a week from Monday, we're doing a worship night here at the church, the 24th at 7 o'clock. You got to be here. It's going to be awesome. We're going to worship. It's going to be so awesome. Also, we have our connect room after service. Look, if you are a guest, if you're new here, if this is your first time or 71st time, we want to welcome you to the connect room right after service. We want to get to know you, get you started on the process with our Discover and all these awesome things. So that'll be right after service in this hallway as well. It's also Groups Sunday. Give it up for Groups Sunday. If you don't know what that is, you're about to learn a lot more about it throughout the whole service. We have the tables at the end. But we have a marriage conference. Where are my married people at? Three married people. Where are my married people at? Come on. Okay, more married people than last time. Interesting. We have a marriage conference coming up February 4th and 5th. It's $50 a person. It'll be led by a senior pastor. It's going to be a powerful, powerful time. Look, there's no better investment you can make as a married person than investing in your own marriage. Amen? Amen. Now, lastly, we have baptisms coming up on February the 13th. It's going to be Baptism Sunday. We'll throw you in the water over here. We'll make sure it's not ice cold. Maybe. You never know. But if you're not baptized, you need to get baptized. Touch your neighbor and say, are you baptized? Touch your other neighbor and say, what about you? Are you baptized? You got to get baptized. It is so important. We really want to make that opportunity available for you. But now, welcome. Did you just pop those balloons? Anyways, welcome with me our senior pastors, Pastor Michael Spencer.
Good morning, everybody. What a great day. Are you ready for an awesome day? First service was, I don't know. I had a great time preaching. I might preach longer, a second service, just for fun. I heard that. Already speaking it. God's moving. A lot of people ask me where Pastor Rhonda is. Pastor Rhonda is recovering. Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. She's recovering. Hoping to have her here in the next week, and just declaring the word of the Lord over her life, amen? And we're excited that you're here in the house because God's got plans for you today. Turn to someone and say, you're important to the plan of God. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release your anointing. God, I know there's residual already from the preaching of the word. You said signs and wonders shall follow the preaching of the word. So even right now in Jesus' name, I know that signs and wonders are being released in this room. Healing, God, deliverance, Father, being drawn closer to you. Jesus, the supernatural is moving in this room right now in the name of Jesus. God, we stir up the gift of God that we receive by the laying on of hands. We declare, Holy Ghost, you have the freedom in this room to do whatever you desire to do. Lord, we love you. We'll worship you. We'll glorify you. And we're going to have a great time in your presence. And everybody in agreement shouted. Yeah. Let's worship Jesus together.
You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy.
Stronger, the joy of the Lord. It makes me stronger. There is no shadow. your name.
I praise your name.
Oh, Jesus.
I praise your name.
What a wonderful name.
I praise your name. You're so good to me.
If you have digestive problems, I believe there's an anointing here for healing with digestion. I'd like you to start landing up straight across the front. I'm just going to lay hands on you this morning. The Bible says lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you have digestive issues, just come right to the front of the altar and just stand right here. We're going to come down and lay hands on you. In Jesus' name. Don't wait long. I'm going to get moving and I'll be done. Amen.
God is so good. God is so good, He's so good to me. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good. So good to me. God is so good. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. He's so good.
One of the things you learn as you move in the anointing is that there are times that God will do something special or just a specific thing. Whenever that is given, you want to move. You know, many times Jesus asked them questions or drew faith from them. What happens to, if you remember when Brother Ted comes, Brother Ted makes you take a step. He calls it a step of faith. Because if you're not willing to come up, even if God wants to heal you, He can't. So there has to be a draw in the spirit. And so whenever you see or there is a call for an anointing or healing and you have a need, you want to move. because that's what the corporate body's for. Amen? So you got to be wise with that. And many people just don't know. And that's good learning right there. Amen? Turn to someone and say, that's some good learning. Amen. The anointing is the perpetual propulsion of the power of God. The anointing is the energy that comes, or the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit abide? Inside of you. The Bible says that every one of us are anointed, that the anointing abides within you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. And the Bible says that each one of us, it's not special for the preachers, but each one of us are called. I'm not going to move. You guys are shaking. Each one of you, we're called, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. Come on, as a Christian, you should be casting out devils. Like real ones? Yeah, like real ones. If you notice, casting out devils was one of the very first things never seen in the old covenant, manifested in the new covenant by Jesus. The very first miracles he did was casting out devils. Cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. You need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Speak with other tongues. Can I hear an amen? The Bible then says you'll have divine protection. And, come on now, I like this one. When you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Now, recover means healing. That takes time. Might take 30 seconds, may take an hour, may take a week, might take a year. But once you lay hands on somebody and release the anointing, immediately the power of God is active in their body. You know, you've heard the song that we sing, even though you can't see him or feel him working, he's never stopped working. You got to have faith that when God uses your life, he's using your life. You are not weak, you are strong. You have been called for supernatural deeds, not just to survive on the planet and get to heaven. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Turn to somebody and say, God's got supernatural power inside of me. I'm going to lay hands on sick folk this week, and they shall recover. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I love it when someone feels the power of God in such a dimension that you can see their eyeballs pop. I remember one time I was here on a Thursday night, and we had bussed in a bunch of children. And this young boy, he was probably 8 or 9 years old. I laid hands on him and released the anointing. And this is what he did. His eyeballs went poink. And I said, you felt that, didn't you? And he goes, I said, that's the Holy Spirit. You see, you need to feel God. God made you to feel him. All two of you said amen. Actually, it was just one. It was Pastor Tim. I got your name. I just looked over and you looked like somebody different. I wasn't sure who you were. We're just going to tease him because he's part of the family. Amen. So it's important to know that it's okay to feel the presence of the Lord. Sometimes you sit too far off. Let me explain what that means. God is just as present here as he is there, but if you move here, you're making advancement towards wanting more. That's the truth. Whenever people sit in the back, there's nothing wrong with sitting in the back. God's big enough to sit in the back. But when you have a hunger, you're going to go after something. Amen? Remember when I threw the money 2 weeks ago? There were $50 bills in there. Those kids got $50 bills. And I heard later from one of the adults that I could really have used that. I said, you didn't move. You didn't move. You didn't want it that bad. You didn't move. Sometimes you got to move to get what you want. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. Okay.
Sorry if that was rude. I didn't mean it. Okay. Hi, my name is Minister McKenzie. Going to talk about tithes and offerings. Praise God. Okay. Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. So I was talking to God a couple days ago, and I was like, God, I love your house. I don't mind tithing. But why is it that people who aren't faithful to your house, don't tithe, have never tithed, that are in blatant sin, why do they look more blessed than the church sometimes? I thought that was a fair question to ask. And he explained to me that in the Bible, there are certain principles that you don't have to be saved to follow that still work, right? In the book of Deuteronomy, it teaches you how to save your money. In the book of Proverbs, it teaches you how to not get hooked up with people who are bad with money. It teaches you how to not go into debt. And even in the New Testament, there are principles that show you how to handle your money, right? So there are people that seem more blessed than saved people because they take these principles, whether they know it or not, whether they've cracked open this Bible or not, they live by these principles. And so, of course, over time, if you live by good principle of finances, you can accumulate wealth, right? You can accumulate money, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're blessed. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're in covenant with God and that his hand is in your finances. Those people who have chosen to use good principle but not have chosen to not follow God and not tithe, they've decided to be their own gods over their own money. I don't know about you. I don't want to be my own God over anything. So right here in Malachi, it says that he will rebuke the devourer if we enter into tithes and offerings. We know that tithe means 10%, right? So it doesn't mean I have to give $100 a week or I have to give $50 a week. Whatever 10% is of your money is what God is requiring for that covenant, right? So We may look like we have less, but we actually have access to his kingdom, and we have his divine protection over our finances. That's something that good principle can't get you, and good practice cannot get you. When you enter into covenant through tithes and offerings, you have a divine protection over your finances. And I know some of us have been in the place before where you're like, why does it seem like there's holes in my pockets? Why does it seem like no matter how many jobs I work, I can't seem to save money? I can't seem to take care of myself the way I want. And it's not because God hates you. And it's not because you're tithing, because the world will tell you it's because you're giving all that money to the church. It's not because of that, okay? There is a key that the Bible has, if we crack it open and look at it, that you can be financially blessed. And it's a combination of good principle and having God's hand in your finances through the covenant of tithes and offerings. Yes, we tithe out of relationship because we love him, first and foremost, because we trust him. But when you enter into the covenant of tithes and offerings, it's not me who has to figure it out now, it's God. And I don't want to have to figure all that out. I want God to have his hands on my finances. I want to put him to be responsible for rebuking the devourer. So I have a little testimony. So my husband, Jalen, he signed up for these college classes in 2020. And he wanted to further his education in some things. And before you know it, God was like, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And he said, okay. And he stopped taking the classes. Well, about 6 months ago, we received an email from the college saying, you have to pay this certain amount. And Jalen tried to fight it because he quit the classes within the window of time that you were supposed to be able to not get fined. But because they're a college and they want money, they were like, pay it anyway. So Jalen fought it for a couple weeks, and they were like, no, you have to pay this. You can start your payment plan, whatever. So I kind of looked at him, and I was like, okay. I guess we're going to pay that. And Jalen, within his own spirit, said, you know what? I'm just going to take my hands off of it. We're tithers, and we sow, and we're very faithful, and I don't know the way out of it, but I know God does. So that was basically his prayer. Wasn't anything crazy. He just knew that he could go back to the word where he was following and remind God of his covenant. And so a week later, we got an email, and they were like, sorry, you don't have to pay that. And colleges don't do that, by the way. If they ask you for money, they're gonna want to get their money. So that's just one testimony out of like a ton that we've had where we haven't had to do a thing. It was God who figured it out for us. It's not because I'm lucky or because I have a title. It's because we tithe very faithfully off of everything, off of gifts, off of extra income, off of our regular income. We make sure that we honor God with our finances. And so all we have to do is call on that covenant and he takes care of it. He's done it multiple times. So if you would like to enter into that covenant and stay in that covenant, I'm going to ask you to stand up. So exciting. Entering into covenant. Yes. And we're going to say the supernatural declaration, okay? If I obey, then I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up because I'm a child of God. Now say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Awesome. You can bring your tithes to the front. If you're watching on live stream today, you can actually give by text. The number is 84321. You just text in your dollar amount to the number 84321. Super easy. You can also go to histabernacle.com to give your gift of tithes and offerings. And thank you so much for joining us.
Praise the Lord. What a great day this is. Don't you call it a great day? Yeah. Amen. We had an awesome week of fasting and praying. Man, God was moving. It was a great time in the Spirit. Remember, God is moved by faith, but the seeds of faith are released through words. And so as we prayed, we call those things which are not as though they already are. It's exciting to know that God has given us the privilege to come before this throne boldly, that we don't ever have to be ashamed, amen, washed in the blood of Jesus as sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'd like to call up the Rankins. They have a testimony they'd like to share with you.
I picked it just for you, Pastor. All right.
I'm sorry. He has the best hair of the church. There is no question.
So I think I can be heard now, right? Yep. Yeah. Woo! All right. So I'm Christopher Rankin. This is my wife, Alyssa. Yeah. So if you guys haven't known, we actually started doing groups in 2020. That was a hard time for us. You know, we ended up listening to God regardless of what our finances said. And throughout the whole entire group phase, God financially blessed us to ensure that we could feed and provide for other people the whole entire time and also pay for all of our bills. But also on top of that, God also gave us the people that we have in our groups a family, essentially, when our family fell away and told us they didn't want nothing to do with us anymore. So I'm thankful for God that he actually gave us the opportunity to become group hosts and continually guide us on a daily basis and giving us a word to give to our fellow believers. And, you know, just recently, in 2021, I started doing more with men that are in our group, and we're doing activities and going out and spending time together. And it's been an amazing and phenomenal journey with everyone. And I am so thankful that God put Zach Hillman and some of the other men in my group into my life to actually push me to go ahead and do this. Whew. It's fantastic to have men, godly men, lifting me up. And I'm lifting them up and vice versa. And so join a group. Get set with someone else that can actually help build you and keep you moving forward in your walk with God.
Amen.
All right. I guess that's all I got, guys.
Man, he's got great hair. Today's a great day, and I'm excited. You know, can you shout this out loud with me? I'm built different.
I'm built different.
Come on, you can shout louder than that. Shout, I'm built different.
I'm built different.
I want to remind you, as I said a little earlier, your words are seed. And so what you're doing is you're releasing words to produce a harvest in your life. You're making a declaration that I'm built different. I'm not like everybody else. God's got a plan for me. And here it's so important that we recognize that if you don't do something different in 2022, dear Lord, you don't do something in 22 different, you're going to be the same person. There's a problem with that. Turn to someone and say, there's a problem if you're the same. The problem is that God has a plan that's better and gooder than you have for yourself. That's my word. No one can use it but me. The gooder things. And God has that plan, but he can't bring that plan into fruition in your life if you're going to use the same material to build the house. So you got to do things different. We are built different. Therefore, we've got to build with material that's different. That means this year, people are going to have to change. I said, this year, people are going to have to change. That means you. I mean, it's okay to say amen when you know you're talking about somebody else. But when it gets down to you, man, there's a time that people have been building houses and they're using bad material. You know, I live in a house, and it's a nice house, but the man who built the house, he built different, and not in a good way different. I'm talking like I've replaced roofs. I've replaced septic systems. I had to replace all the decking. We've had to replace. Listen, now I'm in the middle of the yard, gonna be putting in a circular concrete pad for a fire pit, and I'm digging with a one of those, what do they call those things? Pickaxe, and I hit a 220 line in the middle of the yard. I said, what is that doing in the middle of the yard? Man, I tell you something, people build in different ways, but it doesn't mean you're going to be strong. But if this year you're going to be built like God wants you to be built, you're going to have to use different material, which means you're going to have to change where you're shopping to build different for your life. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to build different. I'm not going to be the same. I am determined. I will not be the same person at the end of this year, in Jesus' name. Now I want to talk about the body of Christ, because the body of Christ has built wrongly. And what I mean by that is this, is we've come into a place in the American church where we come to church out of obligation, we come to church out of spiritual conviction, we come to church because we want to feel better about ourselves. We come to church because, well, you know, that was a nice message, but last week's was bad, so this week made me feel better, so I'm good. And what we do is we come to church, and we're all facing forward. So really, the only thing you see about the person in front of you is the back of their head. Until the church gets out of the linear seating and into groups where we see each other's eyes again, then the body of Christ is never going to create the momentum necessary to fulfill God's purpose for it in the end days. There's a need to shift how we think. And we need to shift how we think to be like God thinks. God wants to make you a skyscraper this year, but he can't make you a skyscraper if your building foundation is not deep and wide. And deep and wide does not just come through the Word of God, does not just come through the preacher preaching on a Sunday. It comes through iron sharpening iron, being with men and women of God who are going to challenge you. The Bible calls it spurring one another on. I used to ride horses, and I had this horse. Her name was Rosie. Rosie was 16 and a half hands tall, buckskin. And Rosie did not like to go down. We would go down to the ring, but the ring was like 3 miles away. She didn't like to go there. So I would have to have spurs on my boots, and I would have to spur her on. They weren't the nice spurs. They had a little point to them. And I want you to recognize there are times, and we all need people in our lives, that when we don't want to go where God wants us to go, that there's somebody enough in our lives to spur us on to get us moving. Can I hear an amen? But that's not going to happen unless we build different. Unless we allow God to transition and get back to the mind of heaven. I learned a long time ago that you can have a mind, but it doesn't mean you have God's mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. The word let is the key. That means you've got to bring your fleshly mind into subjection, and you've got to say, God, your mind is more important than my mind. What you want to do is more important than I want to do. So God, it's not how I think that matters, but how do you want me to think that matters? Say amen. Amen. You see, we've been built different. We have a different family. We have different father. We have a different laws that we follow. We have a different lifestyle that we live. We have different power that we possess. And we have different purpose that God has for us, rather than just making enough money, making a few babies, and dying and being put in a casket under the ground. We have divine purpose. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. You were made for such a time as this. And unless we build different, then there is no way that God can trust us with the spiritual principles that will enable us to fulfill the destiny that He preordained. So there's a need and a necessity for you and I to look at our structure. It's important for that we look at our thinking. It's important that we look at how we live our lives and say, God, what differently and how differently do you want to work on my structure this year? And today I want to talk about how you and I are a household and we are family. Turn to somebody and say, I don't even know you. I don't even know if I like you. But if you're born again, you're my family. Our verse for the year is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, and it says this. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens. Now some of you might be strange, but we'll move on. But you are fellow citizens. Turn to somebody and say, I'm the citizen of heaven. Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You see, being a member means you belong. Every one of us need to know that somebody, every one of us is somebody to God. And that He, through the blood of Jesus, has paid the price that we can belong to the family and in the household of faith. But in every single house, things are run differently. We've got to recognize that we don't run God's house like we want to run God's house. We run God's house the way He wants to run God's house, since it's God's house. It'd be like your neighbor walking into your home and walking into your home, just opening the door and walking in, and you're looking at them and saying, I haven't shot you yet. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to help me figure out what's going on. And then they look at you and they say, yeah, I think we're going to move the kitchen. I think it's important to move the kitchen. It's just not an open concept enough for me. And you're looking at them and saying, what are you talking about? Well, I mean, the living room, if we move the couches this way, that's better this way. We're going to do an open concept with the kitchen. And you look at them and say, this is not your house. And they look at you and you go, well, I mean, I'm here. Just because somebody's there don't mean they're a member of the house. Come on now. And just because somebody walks in your house, they can't tell you how to run the household. So why do we think we can do that with God? I mean, it's God's house, not our house. This is God's kingdom, not our kingdom. We got to run it the way God wants it run, not the way man wants it run. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So we are members of His household. That means as members of the household, we're not the owner of the household. Therefore, as members, as sons and daughters, we're going to do what Daddy says. You ever seen a child that don't obey their parent? Come on now, especially when they get to the mall. Man, I tell you, you know, that's when you want to reach out and give them the love of Jesus. It's biblical. It is biblical. I was down in Mexico one time and this child was screaming. I don't know, Terry, if you were there with me that time or not. This child was screaming in the open courts and screaming and jumping around. And I mean, I don't know Spanish, but I know Spanish cuss words. So this child was cussing at the mother. And I wanted to walk over. Were you there for that one? Yeah. I wanted to walk over to that child and give them the love of Jesus. But it wasn't my place. Why? Because I wasn't a member of that household. But we got a God who is our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be his name. And this is not our house, but his house. You and I, come on now, we have been bought with a price. We are the possession of God himself. That's right. I said, you don't even run your own life. Jesus said, I only go where the Father's told me to go. I only go say what the Father's told me to say. I only do what the Father's told me to do. God runs our lives. Listen now, you've been bought with a price. What does that mean? The owner owns you. Listen now, if you're a bondservant of Jesus Christ, it means your obligation is now over, and now you've surrendered your life to the master of the house, the owner of the house, and you have said to the owner, whatever you want to do with my life, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. There is a shift that has to happen back in the body of Christ in American churches, especially here in the last days. Now, I just want to emphasize that just one last time. Some of you need to do some research, and you will, because I'm going to mention it. I don't know if you realize, but China just posted that they're issuing a new currency, a cashless system, and they're going to start unveiling it to the world at the Olympics. That is, they're taking away the money cash, and all cash will be done on your phones. So it will actually be the same currency, the same look of the currency, but it will not be actual paper, it will be on your phone. This way, they're going to be able to track every expenditure. They're going to be able to track where every person is. They're going to be able to track if you've done what the government you're supposed to do and so on and so forth. They're going to be able to track everything you do. And another thing they're doing is they said their forward plan is that every company that is in that country from another country is going to have to run by their currency to be able to do it. That is another ushering into the one world system. Folks, if you don't think that the world is coming to an end, and that's not scary for those of us who are excited about Jesus coming, come on now, that means we got work to do. Say amen. So that means we got to act the way God wants us to act. We got to do what God wants to do. We got to think the way God wants us to think. Knowing the mind of the Father of the house is important. When you don't know the mind of the Father, then how do you know how to obey in the house? When you understand the mind of the Father, you understand where the house is going. My house is a Christian house. That meant in my house, there was no drugs, and when they were caught, yes, they were. He's a pastor now, glory to Jesus. But when the booze was found and the weed was found, there was a punishment. Why? Because the Father don't put up with that in my house. And in my house, I never put up with disrespect. I don't care how old you were. I spanked Pastor Chad at 17 years old. He was bigger than I was. I said, boy, drop your drawers and get over my knee. And I whooped him as hard as I could. Why? Because I do not tolerate disrespect in my house. Why? Because if they can disrespect the parent they can see, they'll never respect the parent that they cannot see. So here is my house, how I ran my house was different from how you might have run your house. You might not have believed in corporal punishment. So you took away their Lincoln Logs or Tonka Toys or Barbies, and you did things different. Maybe they're allowed to have shoes in the house, no shoes in the house. Maybe you're allowed to cuss in the house. You cussed in my house, we were going to have a visitation. Amen. You disrespect your mother. I remember one time Pastor Cody disrespected my wife. I think he was 17 or 18 years old. And I just looked at him. I said, you know, I don't let anybody, any man on the outside disrespect my wife like that. And if you think I'm going to let you disrespect my wife like that, you got another thing coming. You better say sorry. I'm getting up. Amen. Well, why? Because each father runs their house different. So to understand how Father God works, you got to think how God thinks. You got to see what God desires. You got to understand the rules and the principles, how he's running his house. And whether you like it or not, this is not my house. It's not my church. Listen now, I didn't ever want to be a pastor. This is God's house, and we run it his way. Can I hear an amen? And so in that, thinking the way God thinks. The way that God started was how we have to perceive his desire. It's called the law of first mention. When God started something, whenever you see it first, you will see usually see a line and a lineage that shows the mind and the feeling and the thoughts and the desires of our Heavenly Father. And God said this in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 18. Then God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now, I want you to see this. We as the body of Christ have come to this place, which I believe is catastrophic in allowing God's desires to be accomplished. And that is, we come into church, we look at the back of the heads of people, we get up and we leave. We never touch, we never look into the white of people's eyes, we never touch humanity of other individuals, we just run our life and fulfill our desires. I've learned something since this whole experience with my spouse. There are two types of doctors. One type of doctor is a medical strategist who has the capabilities of great understanding in the pharmaceutical world. They look at your chart, they strategize what's right, they strategize what's wrong, they walk into your room, they don't really look at you, they just say, this is what we're gonna do, 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 and they never humanize an individual. I want you to know they will soon be replaced by artificial intelligence. Because artificial intelligence will be able to medically strategize and save hospitals and insurance money, insurance companies' money. But there's another type of doctor that can never be replaced. It's a doctor. There's a young man down where we've been, and he walked in on his day off. Walked in on his day off, knelt down, touched my wife's arm, and said, "Mrs. Spencer, how are you feeling today?" as he looked into her eyes. That's a different type of doctor. He is still a medical strategist. He is still has to be good with the pharmaceuticals. But there is something that you cannot change, that when you as a physician or you in the medical practice reach out and touch somebody, there is a humanization, no longer, come on now, just strategy. And we do now that in the same in the body of Christ. We come to church, we don't really touch anybody, we don't really look at anybody, we do our thing, and we head out the door, we soon can be replaced. Because the reason that Christ came was not to dehumanize, but to rehumanize. What do we mean, rehumanize? Man without Christ is human, but eternally lost. To rehumanize, being created in the image and in the likeness of God, God reestablishes dominion within us, and now we are on the right path, for the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and now we are walking according to the principles of the Father who created us. And you can never walk alone. When you walk alone, if you fall, who picks you up? A three-strand cord is not easily broken. And in this verse in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 18, it says that God looked at man and he said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper for him." It was so important that man would not be alone, that God went back to creating. It was so important that man was going to humanize, that man was going to be touchable, that man was going to be lovable, that man was not going to be alone, that God went back and he created again, and he created the woman, and they became one flesh, and they worked and they walked. Listen now, that's not all that was God, that God created. When God created man and woman, he did something that was so powerful, because the same principle, the same mind that you see that God had for Adam to not be alone is the same mind that God has for himself. God did not want to be alone. So what happened in the garden? Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. God did not want to be alone. So he created people, he created humans in his likeness so that he could have a relationship with them, so that he could walk with them and talk with them, because he knew it was not good to be alone. So many people are crowded alone. There are so many believers, they come to church, they don't know one person's name. We so ostracize ourselves. We so protect ourselves that we forget that a major part of humanity is the ability to touch and to feel what others are experiencing. But you cannot do that. You cannot encourage somebody that you really do not know. You cannot build somebody that you do not know. You cannot correct somebody that you do not know. You cannot be there to hold their hands up if you don't know them. And so the church world has gotten into a place where literally we dehumanize the kingdom of God. And it becomes a place that we come to on a Sunday, but it's not our lifestyle in relationship. There has to be a change. You know, when I was a kid, everybody was our uncle and aunt. Everybody. I was very confused for a lot of years. How are they my uncle? Everybody was your uncle and aunt. It was kind of to a place where everybody was family. And we need to know that the mind of God is that God came to build different. He didn't come to just to build an earth. He didn't come to just put humans on it. He came to structure a family and relationship because God did not want to be alone. And even though he has angels surrounding him at all times, Isaiah chapter 6, that they shout out, holy, holy, holy. They are doing it out of mechanism. But God wanted people, a people that would love him because they desire to love him. That's called relationship. God is desperate. He's desiring to have a relationship with his people, but then he wants his people to have a family experience in his household. And we've stopped that in America. Actually, it's not just in church. 50 years ago, you knew your neighbors. Now, most people don't know their neighbors. If you needed a cup of sugar, you go to your neighbor's house for a cup of sugar. Now you don't go to your neighbor's house for a cup of sugar because it might be Coke or something. You just don't know what's going to put in there. Listen, I want you to see the mind of our Father, because when you understand how he thinks, then church changes perspective. It's not just I'm going to church on a Sunday. It's I'm going home. Now, listen, now, I make family breakfast. My wife and I make family breakfast on Fridays, and we usually do Sunday afternoon meal. And when we're doing Sunday afternoon meal, like today, we're going to do Sunday afternoon meal, and Pastor Chad let us know he's not going to be there. And I said, why aren't you going to be there? I said, you know we do this every Sunday. Why aren't you going to be there? He says, well, I've got a meeting with another pastor up in Ithaca. Okay. But in my head, I'm thinking, don't you miss next Sunday. And if you, on a Friday morning, when I make breakfast, I'm making 4 pounds of bacon. I'm making either pancakes or French toast. We're making a dozen plus eggs, all fresh. It's nice. You got your little yogurt bar over on this side. And man, everything is nice and beautiful. Listen now, and if you don't show up, you didn't call? You didn't show up? Excuse me? That's disrespect. But we do it all the time in church. Because we don't think the way God thinks. See, in our Western culture, church is just a place we go to and hear a guy shout about. We don't see it the way God sees it, that this is his household. Now, I'm not saying the building is his household. We are his household. But he said, I want you to congregate together, especially in the last days. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourself as the matter of some is, especially in the last days. Well, why? Because God is generating a family kind of relationship. But it cannot be a family kind of relationship if we're always just looking at someone's back of the head. So there needs to be a transition, if we're going to build differently, a transition on how we see and how we think when it comes back to the house of God. I feel all alone in this room. Do you know even when you get to heaven, you're going to have a house? John 14, 1 and 2, let not you, they always read this at funerals, but it's better to get it before the funeral. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. I want you to know our Father is so interested and so excited to have you as a family member in his house that he wants us to understand how he thinks and how he feels. And if we don't, then we're just going to make it another westernized church. The problem with having a westernized church is you don't make a difference. Because it's not until everybody comes under the same vision. You ever been into somebody's house and you get there? Nah, I don't want to go there yet. Let's just move on. Division is the opposite of the mind of God in his house. Has anybody ever gone to someone's house, a husband and wife's house, and you walked in, and the moment you walked in, you felt the tension? You knew they didn't like each other. You could feel they just got done a fight. They didn't need to say nothing. They smiled. When you walked in, so glad you're here. But you can feel the tension. Well, why? Because you can feel what a house possesses. And the one thing that the devil works so desperately at is causing division within a house. Well, when you look at the word division, it is division. A vision is always singular. The Bible says in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, write the vision. Write it so it's clear and clean on tablets so those who read it may be able to run with it. But division is when somebody comes in the house and starts to split the house. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. If you have a sibling and the sibling is against the parent and they try to split the home. Have you ever seen someone split a home? It's so sad. Especially if it's moms and dads. I've watched moms and dads. Sometimes I get them in my office and I get a little mean to them. And I get mean by telling them it's time for you to grow up. It's not about you anymore. Whoa. What happens is you go into a house and moms and dads are against each other. And who pays the price but the kids? They feel rejection. They feel like it's their fault. They feel like they're uncared for. The only stable environment they have in the entire world is our home. And now their home is upside down. We come to this place where division is so destructive and God is against division. God is not just against division. He speaks strongly about it. Let's just read it real quick. It says it in the book of Romans chapter 16, 17, and 18. It says this, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Amen. You know what's interesting to me? Is we always want to make everybody happy. But the Bible's very clear. When somebody in the house is trying to destroy the house, the Bible says you don't even talk to them. The Bible actually says in another portion, treat them like an unbeliever. The scripture said don't talk to them. Don't get on Facebook with them. I remember one time I had a staff member who was here, and the individual left here and caused lots of trouble. And actually, there were two families that were absolutely decimated and destroyed, still are not where they were supposed to be with God. And when they came in here and they left, I was so happy when they left. I helped them leave. and when they left. And then I got new staff members. They were of the different persuasion of responsibility. And so now the wife of the gentleman that I hired is sitting there at my desk, and I told them, I said, they were starting a friendship up with this one that caused the division in the church. And I said, listen now, you're not allowed to be their friend on Facebook. And so here she is, she's staring at me, and she goes, "You," and I can't do it, I'll break myself. "You are not going to tell me who I can be friends with." And I said, that woman caused lots of trouble here. She caused division here. And the Bible says, avoid them, not make them your friends. And she said, you're not going to tell me. And I said, it's simple. You're fired. I said, I'm not paying anybody $40,000 a year. I wouldn't let my wife talk to me that way. I wouldn't let my children talk to me that way. And nobody I'm hiring is going to talk to me that way. You now are gone. Why? Because I refuse to allow division to be part of the house. Somebody said to me, well, you know, this person did it, and, you know, why can't I be friends with them? Why would you want to be friends with them? Let's read the rest of the verse, and I'll tell you why you shouldn't be. Here we go. The Bible simply says this, that avoid them, for they're such people do not serve the Lord Jesus, but their appetites, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Division is always evil, and whenever you see division, you always know the demonic are involved. Every time. So it's not like something you go, well, you know, it won't kill me. Yeah, it will. My wife does it this way. I love her example. She does this usually with the children's ministry, and she brings in a pan of brownies. And she then just starts describing how she makes the pan, you know, the thing of brownies. She said, you know, I went out into the yard, and my dog had gone to the bathroom. So I just took a half a teaspoon of dog manure, of dog poop. And when I was making the brownies, you really can't tell color-wise. It's about the same color. I just mixed it into the mix. And I have these brownies for you. They're amazing. Would you like one? Even the children are smart enough to say no. It doesn't matter how much poop is in there, there's still poop in there. It doesn't matter how much evil is in there, it's still evil. It doesn't matter how much division is in there, it's still division. We've got to be able to mark them. Why? Because when you get into the mind of God, division literally destroys his house. And God does not want people destroyed. Can I hear an amen? I remember I had a man one day, I think I told you this a few weeks ago, so it's just basically repeating. I had two people on back when we were in the school, two families, they were actively involved on the worship team, and all of a sudden they disappeared, and I couldn't understand where they went to. So I got busy. I'm the pastor. I'm the shepherd. I'm to protect the sheep. That's my job. Listen, you can say whatever you want about me, but don't touch the babies because I'm coming after you. No, really, that's the truth. That's the only time I get really mean is when you start hurting the babies, I'm coming after you. Because that's my job as the shepherd. So here all of a sudden they're gone, and I find out some preacher decides he wants to open his own little church in the area. So he comes in and he finds these two people that he can use to start his worship team. And he goes after them and starts to cause division. What is vision? Die. Duel. When we get into a house, we should have one vision, not dual vision. People with dual vision usually either need glasses or prescription or some kind of problem that they have with their eyes. That always stems from the brain. So all of a sudden, I sit down and I ask them out for breakfast. Breakfast. Sat him down and I says, hey, man, you know, how are you? You know, I see these two folks, these two families are gone from the church. And he goes, yeah, you know, I felt led of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you know how I know it wasn't the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost don't do division. You only see God doing addition and multiplication, never subtraction and division. Whenever you see division and subtraction, you always know the devil's involved. So I looked at him and I said, dude, I've never even heard of you. Where'd you come from? He gave me this place in Connecticut, and then he gave me his place of ordination in Georgia, and then he gave me his apostle's name out of, I think it was like Tennessee, and then he gave me the number, which was kind of stupid. And so here he is. I get online, and I start, you know, I'm done the meeting. I get online, and I'm trying to find this church in Connecticut. There ain't no church in Connecticut. I called the place in Georgia, and I said, did you ordain so-and-so? And they said, well, you've never heard of so-and-so. I said, really? So I called the number of his apostle, and somebody answered. I said, are you so-and-so's apostle? And he says, oh, yes, I've been over him for many years. I said, when was the last time you talked to him? Oh, about 4 years ago. I said, so you're not really an apostle over this guy. He's doing whatever. I says, who's your apostle? Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody's over me but Jesus. And I said, that's nice. Bastards producing bastards. That's just the way it's supposed to be. Do you know what happened to those two families? The one guy went back to drugs. He went back to New York City and got delved back into drugs. And the other family, not one of the family members is now serving Jesus. Division is always destructive. And the mind of God, because he has a house, is intolerant with division. Because division is always somebody else raising themselves higher than the father of the house, who is Jesus Christ, and doing opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. The Bible says, mark those people. Amen. Oh, that's good learning this morning. Say amen. Amen. I did. It was good. Jesus says it the best. Ready? Mark 3, 24 through 26. And he called them to him and said to them in a parable, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house is not able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. That's why the Bible says you do not join with those that have caused division in the body. The mind of the Father is unity. Now, unity isn't that we always get along. Unity isn't that we like each other. This is the fact. There are people in this church you're not going to like. You can still be part of the family even if you don't like them. Amen. My wife's family has 4 siblings. But Uncle Chad Mays, comes to the church, and my wife have always been close. I'm talking like they've always been best friends. They always hung out together. They always had each other's backs. The other two siblings, my wife wasn't close to, and neither was Uncle Chad. In fact, even to this day, the sister, you hear from him maybe twice a year, and the other brother, you don't hear from him at all. But even in the same house, whether they like it or not, they're still family. And even though two of them get along better than the others, it still does not change the fact that they're a family. And that as a family, they were heading in the same direction under the father of the house's rules. And so as we are learning how the kingdom of God is supposed to run, as we're learning about how God's church is supposed to run, it is never supposed to be a place that you just look at people's back of the head and you get up and you walk out. You don't know anybody's name. You don't care about anybody's name. You don't care if they live or die. And if they did die, you're going to read it probably in the obituary. You're not even going to know it personally. Say amen. Amen. So there is a plan that God has. The plan isn't new. It started with Adam and Eve. Not good for man to be alone. Father, Son, Adam and Eve and God, there's 3. They were a unit. And then they were to have babies. Problem is, before all that happened, they messed up. And guess what happened when they messed up? division occurred. God the Father no longer could walk with them in the cool of the day. Why? Well, because they broke and they caused division in the house. In fact, they got kicked out of the house. I don't know if you've ever heard the joke. You might not have time, but it sounds like fun. One day, you know, they had been kicked out of the garden, and Adam and Eve, you know, Adam's out working hard, you know, amongst the thorns and the thistles, and his sons are working with him, and Ma's back, you know, making and kneading bread and taking care of business back there. And all of a sudden, one of the boys goes back and says, "Hey, Ma, you know, look at that garden over there. It's plush and it's beautiful." No, he went over to Dad. "Hey, Dad, you know, look at that garden. It's plush and it's beautiful. Why don't we just go look at the fruit, Dad? Why don't we just go over there and grab that fruit?" And he says, "Son, we can't." A few days goes by and he comes back and says, "Dad, I don't understand why we can't go over there. It's everything is beautiful. Look at it, it's lush. We're working hard here." He goes, "Listen, kid, we can't go because your mother ate us out of house and home." All right, let's move on. When you look at how God thinks family, that's how God instituted family right there in the garden. But after that, how did he work family? He had the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes were a clan. They were a group of people that hung out together. They had the same heart. The clan of Judah, they were people of praise. You can go down through all the different clans of Issachar and Zebulun, and we can go through all of the different ones, and they all had a flavor and a device that they worked with as a clan of tens and tens of thousands of people. But when they camped, they all camped around the Ark of the Covenant. They all camped around the tabernacle that God had set. What did the tabernacle represent? It represented the presence of God as God's Shekinah glory came from heaven and penetrated the Holy of Holies. They could see that God was in the house. And all of those, even though they were different, they were still worshiping under the same house. How about we talk about Jesus? Jesus picked 12 disciples, and he spent all that time with them. He built relationships with them. He talked with them. Listen, now, you got to know they didn't all like each other. You know, Peter had an issue. Come on, can you hear about it? Peter always gave his opinion. Peter thought that his opinion mattered. Peter caused friction within the disciples. He was the problem causer. Can I hear an amen? So even in the midst of the 12, there was problems. How about the sons of Zebedee went up to Jesus and said, "Hey, we want to sit on your right side." I actually sent Mama to do it. "We want to sit on your right side." And Jesus says, "Listen now." And all the disciples get ticked off. Why? Because they're trying to get the best spot next to Jesus. Even in the disciples, there was not perfection of relationship. But even though they were not perfected in relationship, they genuinely loved each other and cared for each other because they were family with each other. Even as irritating as Peter was, they respected Peter. They loved Peter. And Peter caused problems. John was like the peacemaker. You know, but Peter, in a family, it worked. You know, a lot of people say to me, "Well, Pastor, you know, church, I like church, but, you know, it's really not, you know, something that I like hang out with, and I have other friends." But, you know, you got to make a decision in these last days. Why? Because if you're going to be built different, you got to build different. Amen. That means there are people you should not be hanging with. There are friends you need to get rid of. Amen. I didn't say give up on. I said get rid of. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm closer to them than I am the people of the church. That's the problem. So when you have a faith problem, who are you going to? When you have something happen in your life and you need someone to hold up your arms, who do you got? Your old friends? Yeah, I'll share that. I was talking to the doctors this week. And I was sharing my perception with them. They shared their science with me, and I shared my faith with them. I said, "You took time to share with me. Now it's my time to share with you, so we're on the same page and working the same direction." I said, "I'm a man of faith. And as a man of faith, I've got to believe what God says. I'm not denying your fact, but I'm declaring the truth. I'm not saying that I don't believe it. I'm not ignoring that. I'm not somebody who's hiding that. I'm not running from that fact, but I'm telling you about what my Bible says. I'm telling you who my God is. And I finally looked at him and said, isn't it a catastrophe that many people, as physicians, they only believe in the science? It's humanity helping humanity. I said, we are doomed if that's all we got. And the woman physician looked at me and she goes, ooh, that is so true. And she's not a believer. And the other doctor said, yeah, that's deep. I really got to think on that one. There's a God that is more powerful. There's a Father who is more loving. And there's a time that you and I have to make decisions in our lives. There are some people to have in our lives and some people not to have in our lives. And the people you want in your life are the people, the men and women of God of faith that you're going to build relationships with, that you're, like Peter, going to clash with. These are important people in your life because iron sharpens iron. We're going to have a time where you're not going to like everybody. Well, Pastor, you know, if you only knew who came to that church, if you knew what they did to me before. Listen, if everyone knew what you did to God before, but he let you in his house. Come on now, forgiver, you can't be forgiven. It's not that we like everybody. There are people on this planet I have forgiven, but I never want to be friends with them. I couldn't trust them. Because I saw division in their eyes. I saw the devil they were working for. And now I'm actually able to see the fruit from their labor. As people that once served God have now walked away from God. I sit back and I say to myself, I don't like the individual, but if he gets saved, I'm praying for his salvation. But there comes a place in your life that you have got to put away even what you like. God needs you to be family in his house. And if you don't know 10 folk, then you know you're just looking at the back of people's heads. And when you need faith, you need somebody who's going to couple along with you. And where do you learn faith? I love what Paul said to Timothy. The faith your grandmother had, I saw in your mother, is now in you. We need each other's faith. We need each other's encouragement. We need each other's iron sharpening iron. We need each other's boots sometimes. I used to ride horses. I helped raise 5 of them. And we would take, my horse was 16 and a half hands. Her name was Rosie, a buckskin. And we would go down to the arena, which is about 3 miles down the street. Well, she didn't like to go. So I would always put on the spurs. And I made sure they were sharp. The Bible says, spur one another on in faith. And man, when she would start getting ornery, I would take that crop and I would smack her between the ears. Well, you had to do that. And then I would take the spurs and I would make sure that she recognized she needed to move forward. You know, if you have nobody in your life like that, then you're all by yourself. All by yourself. All by yourself. That's the only part of the song I know. All by. Is it the whole song? Well, Pastor, I've been hurt in church. Of course you've been hurt in church. There are people here. Of course you have hurt people in church. Because you're a people too. The only way not to be hurt in church is to look at people's heads. The back of. But when you start looking into the eyes of people and you start humanizing again by touching people and actually loving people and having relationships with people. Listen now, husbands have a relationship with their own husband. I mean, with their own wife and so on and so on. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about relationships of friendships that you're able to stimulate and grow in the body of Christ, and you're no longer in linear rows, but you're in circles, so that when somebody, come on now, when somebody needs help, you're right there. When someone needs encouragement, when somebody skipped too much church, you're the one calling them saying, listen, man, you all right? What's going on here? You ever see me text up here? You see me during worship? You know what I'm doing? Where are you? I'm chasing down my men. Where are you? Why are you not here? Don't go to hell today. I'm chasing my guys down. Why? Because they're part of my family. And I want to make sure they're okay. I want to make sure they're growing in Christ. I want to make sure if they need strength that I'm there. I want to make sure if they need prayer that they got someone to pray with them. I want them to know that they're not all by themselves on this journey, this adventure in Jesus Christ. But you cannot do that if you're refusing to allow yourself to be vulnerable and be a family. Say amen or oh my. And this is where the body of Christ has to have a shift. We've got to get back to the mind of God. And the mind of God is called the family of God, the household of faith. Well, Pastor, I just don't have time. Then you're too busy. You see, I've always learned this. Where you put your time and your money is actually where you actually believe. If you say you love God, but you'd put no time in God, prayer, reading your Bible, you don't give, then ultimately, that's not a core value for you. Your core value might be buying your cigarettes. Man, I remember when they were like a dollar a pack. Now, how much are they? $12 a pack now? $12 a pack. Wow. Well, I only buy 3 packs a day. I can't afford to tithe. Of course you can't. You're killing yourself. You're not going to hell because you smoke, but you'll smell like it. We've got to make decisions in our lives. If the people of God are unimportant to you, then you've got to ask yourself a base question. Do I really love God? Because if I really love God, He is love. Therefore, because I'm hanging around my Father, my poor children, I love my children, but my children act like I act. My son-in-law, she's pretty rough, ain't she? She's like her daddy. Cody and Chad, for years, I had Mindy walking up to, I married a Spencer. Just like you. I mean, really. But you are like your father. Because you were in his house and you learned how he moves. We got to get back into God. We got to start thinking like he thinks. We got to start believing and living like he wants us to live. Amen? And that is, he wants us to be family. Listen, I don't think you're all going to like each other. I might not even like you. Just kidding. I like everybody. Well, not everybody. There are some people I just don't like. But I do really love everybody. I mean, you got to be a real horrible person for me not to like you. And there are a few. Built different. Thanks, Tara, brought me back. All right, here we go. My question, are you built different? How you built relationships last year? Is it the same way you're going to build relationships this year in God's house? If you didn't know anybody last year, if you keep building the same material you're building with last year, you're going to do the same thing this year, and you think you're going to get a different result, that's crazy. If you're going to be built different and do and think the way our Father thinks and do what our Father wants us to do, He wants us to be in relationship with each other and to grow from each other. Last week was a challenging week for me, and, and Will Delavanova. It took me many years to say his last name. He's probably, is he here? He's probably up in Ithaca this week. He goes back and forth. Villanueva. Okay, see, I still can't say it after all these years. Will. And so Will, who I do text in the mornings. I have men in the room that I text. And I texted him in the morning. He then put something on Facebook, a verse on Facebook, that last week I had to have. I needed that verse. And you heard me address him during service. Because I needed that verse. I'm a man too. I put on my britches the same way you put on your britches. I didn't hear that. I'm interested. Built different. I love Dan Flatt. Dan Flatt motivated me this morning. Dan Flatt was at the Buffalo Bills game last night when they lost to the Patriots. Oh, I'm sorry. Dyslexia. But here's Dan, and he's showing his water bottle, and it's frozen. And Dan, how cold was it? I couldn't feel. And so this morning I got up. Where I live was -9. And I got up and I said to myself, you're not going to the road today. So I'm on my way to church, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, if Dan can be at the Bills game, you can be out in the driveway. Thanks, Dan. And this morning at -3 in first service, where was I? We need each other. And if you've isolated, spiritually secluded, you have literally annihilated opportunity, you're stealing from yourself the great things that God has plans for you. You need relationships in this house. Whether it be women's ministry, whether it be men's ministry, whether it be Bible study, whether it be rock solid faith, whether it be the motorcycle ministry, whether it be the addiction ministry, we have a ministry for people that are addicted that need someone to encourage them through. We have a ministry for spouses that have an unsaved spouse, ladies. We have so many different groups in this church. We have the prayer group. We have the children's group. We have the Bible college group. We have so many groups in this church. Why? Because we want you to be connected, not to someone's back of the head, but to actually, come on now. Touch their flesh. Stop. Actually touch their flesh. I don't want to touch your flesh that much. Cool. Thank you. And look in people's eyes. And when you don't do that anymore, whose house are you part of? I mean, are you just a visitor and a guest? Or are you a member of the house? I'd rather be a member. There are great benefits. God is cool. And he's got great things for you. Amen? So today, before you leave the house, you need to join a group. Well, I don't know which one to join. Well, there are some for, we have Awaken for people that are 18 to 30. We have youth. If you're a teenager here, we have youth. If we have a married couple, we have a dad's group. We have a married couple that's right in the back. We have so many groups in this church. And you might be saying, well, I don't know if I like everybody, but you won't know until you try. And maybe they won't like you. Just kidding. But you just don't know until you get around people. And you again humanize the kingdom of God. It needs to be human again. I like the back of my mother's head, but I love my mother. I love you, Ma. And I really do like you. She just threatened to spank me. Are you part of a group? Listen, we call it groups, but God calls it house. Are you part of the house? Who has the right to speak into your life? Who has the right to correct your life? Who has the right to lift your arms up? Who has the right to speak life to you? Who has the right to nag you? If there's nobody, then you're alone. And God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Amen? Bow your head to me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are in the overwhelming truth of aloneness. Because humanity cannot satisfy humanity. You can go from a woman to a woman to a man to a man. You can go from this job to this job, this money to this money, this sport to this sport. You'll always find that the hole is still there. Because God's not called you to gather stuff. He's called you to know Him. And today, I don't have a membership of a church to offer you. I'd love for you to be a citizen of heaven and a member of God's house. But that takes somebody saying, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Wash me with your blood. Wash my sins away. I want to be part of you. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you'd like God to be the Lord of your life, maybe you're not right with God. You know you're not right with God. If you took your last breath, you're not sure if you go to heaven or not. Today, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Today, if you need to get right with Jesus, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend you ever have. Is there anyone in the room this morning? I'm not going to wait long. 5. Thank you, ma'am. You can put it right back down. 4. Come on. 3. 2. If I preach this message and only one person gets saved, all of heaven's going in a rock and roll moment. Last call and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I want to release a blessing to your life. In the name of Jesus, I declare by the power of God, in Jesus' name, that, Lord, your covenant is true. I declare, God, that not one will be lost, not one will walk away, not one will abandon the call, but every one of us will finish the race and finish it strong. I declare that the body of Christ, that there is no sickness, there is no disease in the body or out of the body, there is no maiming, there is no wounding, there are no growths. There are no spirits of infirmity, you foul spirits. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We command you to loose the children of God. And I address pain right now, God, those that are dealing with chronic pain. I release healing into that part of the body. God, I declare also that we will be prosperous in all things and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. That Jesus, our intellect, our emotions, and will be healed and whole. That we will be whole in our soul in Jesus' name. And that God will prosper so much in our finances and in our family and in everything we touch and do that the world will sit back and say, how are you so blessed? And we're going to declare the goodness of our God. So, Lord, bless us as we go this week. Use us, oh God, and Lord, Holy Ghost, please nag us until we become a part of the members of God's house. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Listen, I do want to say this. I do want to give kudos to the Buffalo Bills and their experience. I got to for their experience, and I hope they win the Super Bowl. What is that? Is that a dog or a... You're the joy to...